Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, in recent weeks, we've been looking at some very serious, big issues related to America's mainline Protestant denominations. And as an evangelical, I've been trying to help us think through how we should just conceive, reflect upon, respond to the kind of news coming out of meetings such as the Presbyterians and the Episcopalians held. And we've been really, really specific to say that I believe those denominations were really retreating from biblical authority. In fact, they were violating biblical authority. They were rejecting the Bible in favor of the currents of contemporary thought when it comes to matters of gender, sexuality, all the rest. A politically correct culture has influenced these churches, and their theological liberalism has left them vulnerable to all these temptations. And now, today, we're going to be talking about something very different. And the reason I set it up that way is because we bear a moral responsibility as evangelical Christians to detect theological aberration, or at least something that is theologically questionable, when it is closer to us as well as when it is further from us. You know, looking at these mainline Protestant denominations, it was important for us to criticize, to think very critically about what was going on there. But today I want to invite us to think very critically about something that for many people, many of you out there, is going to hit far closer to home. Just this summer is to be released a brand new video game that has the secular world talking. Now, you're probably wondering, how in the world is he getting from the PCUSA General Assembly to a video game? Well, here. The video game is based upon the Left Behind series of books that became best-selling fiction, religious fiction, frankly, redefined the Christian fiction category. Books by Philip Jenkins and Tim LaHaye, they have just come in to what has to be defined as a publishing phenomenon. But now we have the game based upon the Left Behind series. And this game is making news because in this game, the forces of light and the forces of darkness fight each other, and like in so many video games, there is mayhem, there is death, and there is violence. And I'm going to tell you today that I am offended as a Christian by the concept here. I want you to call and tell me, once we start thinking and talking about this, if I'm wrong to be offended, or if you share this kind of offense. Now, much like last week when we were talking about the Triple X Church ministry at the porn convention, I'm not doubting the motivation of those who would come up with this. That's not really within my power. I'm doubting the advisability of this. And I'm afraid it's going to become a real stone of stumbling for some out there in the secular world that we want to reach for the gospel. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Excuse me, it is Jerry Jenkins, who is the co-author with Tim LaHaye of the Left Behind series. And we're going to be talking about that game that is based upon their series of books in just a few minutes. First, to review some issues in the news, Ward Churchill is out at the University of Colorado. The infamous professor of ethnic studies, who turns out to have committed academic fraud as well as inciting all this controversy over his suggestion that the victims of the 9/11 attacks in New York were as guilty as the perpetrators, he has been relieved of his responsibilities at the University of Colorado. Now, let's just follow through this for just a few moments and remember something. It is tough to get rid of a tenured professor in an academic institution. It's very difficult. But in recent years, some professors have gone so far over the line that it has become absolutely necessary for universities to recover their authority to fire professors and remove them even when they have tenure. The University of Colorado's interim Boulder Chancellor, Phil DiFestano, on Monday gave Ward Churchill his walking papers, says the Denver Post, noting that Churchill has 10 days to appeal his decision. I'm reading here from the Denver Post editorial. We think Churchill should have quit Colorado University of his own volition after his disguise as a scholar was shredded by two very thorough peer reviews of his shoddy research and academic work, but that would have taken a dose of intestinal fortitude Churchill apparently lacks. Let me just insert myself here. This is a very unusual editorial from a major American newspaper. Let's savor it for a few moments. It goes on. Churchill's half-baked opinions gave him national notoriety and sent local politicians into fits. But it was academic misconduct, not unpopular speech, that did him in at CU. It's important to note, as DiStefano did Monday, that Churchill is not being dismissed for his contempt for the September 11 victims, whom he compared to little Eichmanns. Colorado University officials understood from the beginning that Churchill should not be punished for challenging public opinion, no matter how tempting it may have been. Quote, faculty members from this institution and others around the country enjoy the freedom of expression that is the fountain of what they do in their scholarly pursuits. DiStefano said, a university is a marketplace of ideas, a place where controversy is no stranger and opinionated discourse is applauded. Significantly, he noted that the right to academic freedom was not in question in Churchill's case. The Denver Post ends by saying this, it has been a painstaking yet appropriate process. We hope Churchill will respect the verdict, leave academia, and give up his pretense as a scholar. And we hope Colorado University will now tighten up its tenure process to weed out future frauds who don't meet the high standards of academia. End quote. It's important for us to hear that editorial because here you have a major American newspaper which generally, citing its own commitment to the freedom of the press and all the rest, is going to be all too ready to stand up for what it will define as academic freedom. But academic freedom, like every other freedom, has its limits. And Ward Churchill was way over those limits, not only having exceeded what any legitimate claim to academic freedom would represent, but also representing himself in a way that amounted to academic fraud. And it is good news for academia everywhere when this kind of fraud is exposed. Hats off to Chancellor DiStefano for having the intestinal fortitude to remove this fraud from his academic posts. All kinds of issues out there swirling around when it comes to, for instance, literature people are reading over the summer. I posted an article at albertmuller.com on John Updike. A lot of folks are reviewing his latest work, Terrorist, in which Mr. Updike returns to many of his familiar themes. I just want to raise one issue here. It is very interesting to see how modern novelists, who are really the jewel of the literary eye of the cultural elite, seem to return to the same themes over and over again. For John Updike, his themes are two, God and sex. He's skeptical about the former and enthusiastic about the latter. And in his book, Terrorist, he really kind of repristinates a novel he wrote in the past. But I want to go back to something that he does understand. And this is one of the reasons why his novels, I think, are very significant. Because in his novel, In the Beauty of the Lilies, he refers to the Reverend Clarence Arthur Wilmot losing his faith. And in a very clear and expressive way, he describes how this Victorian pastor lost his faith and felt his faith evaporating from him, in Updike's words. This faith was falling away from him. It was, he said, a moment of visceral surrender, a set of dark, sparkling bubbles escaping upward, and the cause of his evaporating faith was the historical critical method of the Bible that undermined this pastor's confidence in the Bible as the Word of God. That is a story all too common. The rest of Updike's novels are interesting in their own way. But I warn you away from Terrorists this summer. It's not worth your time. It's not worth your reading. But it is worth pondering that when it comes right down to it, the cultural elite thinks that those who seriously believe in God are the great threat, and those who find real room for skepticism are the safety valve. That tells you something about the cultural elite. Speaking of scientific elites, part of the cultural elite, The Times of London has a op-ed piece published over the weekend that is absolutely breathtaking. In this story, Minette Marin, argues that we should just go ahead and play God. She's referring to the fact that now scientists in Great Britain indicate that 200 different genetic abnormalities can be tested in human embryos that are as few as 3 days old. And she suggests that this is just an opportunity for human beings to play God. She says this, nature is astonishingly cruel. Science, by contrast, has the power of mercy. One can only be dazzled by the inventiveness and compassion of the scientists involved in this screening breakthrough. Admittedly, genetic screening means that embryos carrying disabilities and diseases will be discarded. It is a stretch, however, to use the word destroyed or even killed, as the test is done on embryos that are only 3 days old. And what is appealing about this early screening is that it offers the hope that, in the foreseeable future, abortion and late abortion will be less frequently used in dealing with serious defects and disabilities. It will be easier and better in every way to get rid of a tiny collection of cells. This is indeed playing God, as all usual campaigners are quick to point out last week. But what on earth is wrong with humans playing God? I'm all for it. Especially as God doesn't seem to be doing it. Rarely do you confront this kind of arrogance, even in written form. Let's just play God, she says. And implicit in this is that God would simply remove all those with disabilities and describe them, consider them as life unworthy of life. That's just not who God is. We'll be right back. All right, folks, first, a couple of caveats. True admission here. Number one, I don't play video games. So you're talking to someone here who has no expertise whatsoever in video games. My video game development got up to Pong, okay? And I was a little old for Pong, so I am just not a part of this culture. But just last week, we were talking about the fact that some adolescent boys and young men are spending as many as 70 hours a week playing video games. It's big business, multi-billion dollars of business, and evidently multi-billion numbers of hours as well. Second caveat, I am not a dispensationalist. So when we're talking about the general structure behind this, I just want to be honest and say I'm really not in this show about critiquing dispensationalism. They are my dear friends. I am about asking the question, whether you are a dispensationalist or not, about whether or not you consider it appropriate for Christians to play and to market and to advertise a video game that involves Christians killing non-Christians. Let's just listen to the trailer for the game, the Left Behind game, that is to be released, I'm now told, on October the 3rd of 2006. It's called Left Behind Eternal Forces, the PC game. Take a listen to this.
Throughout history, men and women have chosen one of three paths. Those who daily seek a personal relationship with God. Unbelievers and believers who don't seek after God. And those who choose to ignore God. And as the prophets foretold, God will come to take his people home. No one knows the day or the hour. Without any warning, all infants, children, and many people mysteriously disappear. Terror and confusion reign the world over. For those left behind, the apocalypse has just begun.
But the game continues, at least for now, at least starting on October the 3rd of 2006. Let me just set this up a little bit so we understand what's going on here. The game is called Left Behind Eternal Forces. It is being put together by a very sophisticated company that appears to have all the wherewithal to pull this off. Troy Linden, who's behind this company, Left Behind Games, in an interview with a gaming magazine said this: we were founded in 2001 when we realized we could acquire the Left Behind brand rights. We honestly didn't understand just how powerful the brand is. This series of novels has sold more than 63 million books and has more than 90 product SKUs from novels, kids' books, graphic novels, audio dramas, board game, movies, and more. With a following of more than 10 million readers, we have a built-in audience who love this amazing fictional story about what could happen near the end of the world. This goes on saying that they think their story, while using New Testament material for a fictional story, will appear to gamers of any faith. And that seems a stretch. Talks about disciples for recruiting and elite forces for battle. Troy Linden, describing the game, said, "You have numerous types of units and buildings you can acquire, from disciples and missionaries to elite soldier forces. The storyline is such that many that disappeared left valuable information behind about numerous topics. Accordingly, in each mission, the gamer must reach a particular position on the game map. Once they reach each location, they will be treated to a high-quality presentation of material facts that are intellectually stimulating. In this way, our game is considerably more intelligent than all other RTS games. The content within these presentations show information about Christianity, history, and science, and other important truths that are not commonly known throughout the world, but can be verified by believers and unbelievers with ease. There is violence in this game. The Left Behind Games website, which is www.leftbehindgames.com, suggests that players get to wage a war of apocalyptic proportions. Eternal Forces, a real-time strategy game, is based upon the best-selling Left Behind book series created by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. Join the ultimate fight of good against evil, commanding tribulation forces, or the global community peacekeepers, and uncover the truth about the worldwide disappearances. Lead the tribulation force from the book series, including Rayford, Chloe, Buck, and Bruce, against Nicole Carpathia, the Antichrist. Conduct physical and spiritual warfare using the power of prayer to strengthen your troops in combat, and wield modern military weaponry throughout the game world. The website ChristianPost.com has posted an article about the controversy that is now being occasioned, stimulated by this game. The fact sheet talks about battles raging in the streets of New York. A Newsweek article that was published in March said the level of violence in Left Behind series game makes it reminiscent of Grand Theft Auto, a game well known for depicting shocking levels of brutality and accused of inspiring hooked teenagers to commit real-life copycat crimes. Troy Linden, again, of Left Behind Games, said, "Our game has no blood, no decapitation, no vulgar language. Our game does not have gratuitous violence for the sake of showing intestines on a doorknob," end quote. So parents... No gratuitous violence for the sake of showing intestines on a doorknob. If that reassures you, I don't know. "We believe parents need a substitute," he said, "for the degrading moral values of Grand Theft Auto or some of the best-selling titles, and you can't get gamers to switch over from Grand Theft Auto if you only offer a conflict level of, say, Pong." Well, hey, now he's in my territory. I know that conflict level. Jack Thompson, a Christian attorney and anti-video game violence activist, said this, quote, "You've got a generation of boys in this country who are spending sometimes dozens of hours a week blowing away people. Now they're going to have the opportunity to do it in a Christian setting, and you know, where does it stop?" I don't know. I just have to tell you that my first instinct when I read and hear about this is to think that it just isn't good for Christians to turn into a game the coming of Christ and the period of tribulation, such that Christians are involved in warfare in a game that could involve the killing of non-Christians. I find this a very strange development. Honestly, this is something that I would not have predicted. It seems, on the one hand, like the perfect storm and the combination of a consumer culture and people who are looking for stuff to market and a brand, and Troy Linden spoke of that very clearly, the brand that Left Behind represents, and the fact that there is an enormous audience out there of people, especially boys and young men, who want these games. They want to get into the minds of those who fight these fights. And let me say that I think it is a good thing. It is a good thing for boys and young men to imagine themselves as chivalrous knights who are ready to fight when fighting is necessary, and are ready to do what is noble, and are ready to do what is good and pure, and are ready to serve the king. I just have to wonder about finding enjoyment in contemplating the destruction of the forces of the Antichrist when that means Christians killing non-Christians in a simulated battle, the streets of New York or elsewhere. I want to know if you think I'm right to be offended by this. In other words, are you offended by this? Or should we just step back and say, hey, boys will be boys and games will be games, and here's an opportunity for a company to capitalize on the Left Behind series, and some of you out there may think, hey, it's actually better. I'd rather have my boy playing Left Behind than Grand Theft Auto. Are we making a mountain out of a molehill? I can promise you that as this game hits the market, there's going to be a lot of conversation in the secular world about it. There's going to be a lot of controversy about it. And I wanted to give us a heads up as we head into the summer so that we as Christians can start thinking about this and thinking about it together, not questioning motivations, but questioning the effect that this game will have not only on boys, but on our Christian witness. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and we'll be right back.
To the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back. I think it is good that we get a little bit of an advance opportunity here to think through these issues. The game, Left Behind Eternal Forces, is due to be released in October, but the news coverage in the larger media has already begun. Let's listen to Brian Rooney of ABC World News, who was at the Electronic Entertainment Expo back in May at the Los Angeles Convention Center.
Amid the gunfire, explosions, and high-octane games offered at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, one new company was selling something with a different message.
If you kill a player, you get minus 1 point, and if you save a soul, you get plus 2 points.
In this game, when you blow a guy away, your score gets dinged. Good deeds will deliver you to victory and video heaven.
Well, there you have it. I'm not sure where video heaven is, but Brian Rooney is drawing attention to the fact that this game is getting attention at the Electronic Entertainment Expo in Los Angeles and in the larger media, and Christians are beginning to talk about it as well. That's what we're about here today. How should we think about this? The phone number, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Jeff, listening on XM 170 in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, like I said, I read the whole Left Behind series. And I don't remember Dr. LaHaye or Dr. Jenkins either one writing about a Christian army mobilizing against the forces of evil. And as I read the end of the book, my take was that the Christians were just trying to survive until Jesus came back. So, yes, I am kind of offended that they're taking a book, and I know it's a fiction series, but I am kind of offended that they're twisting it, making it sound like there's a bunch of Christians going out killing pagans, because if you read the last book in the Bible, it says that Jesus takes care of that we don't fight the enemies of Christ. So
yeah, and the Apostle Paul makes clear at the end of the book of Ephesians that our warfare is a spiritual warfare. We battle not against flesh and blood, he said. But, you know, just I want to be ruthlessly fair insofar as I can. And so from various media reports, I'm just trying to pull out what I think is most representative. Troy Linden, again, of Left Behind Games, said our violence level is reminiscent of a Star Wars game or maybe a movie. There's no blood, no guts, no alcohol, no drugs. According to this article by Misty Harris of CanWest News Service, gamers can choose to join the Christian army or fight on behalf of the Antichrist. So evidently you can choose which side you're on in this game. I find that very interesting. All the while collecting spirit points in an effort to win. Unnecessary killing results in lowered spirituality, which can only be redeemed through prayer. Not sure exactly what to do with that. Another news story, this one out of Canada, the Ottawa Citizen, about the death and destruction back when Troy Linden said there's no blood, no guts, no alcohol, no drugs. Again, Misty Harris reporting says there are, however, plenty of opportunities for death and destruction. Mr. Linden argues that although the good book teaches Christians to turn the other cheek, it's equally true that people shouldn't, quote, forfeit their lives to an aggressor who is bent on inflicting death. Again, gamers can choose to join the Christian army or fight on behalf of the Antichrist. You know, I just think this whole controversy is not going to be good for the cause of the gospel. When our task of evangelism is considered as aggressive by the larger culture, we have to do it anyway. Sharing the gospel is our business. But when in the background of this, there is a video game that is being marketed to Christians in which the forces of light are fighting the forces of darkness, and it is a military conflict. Now, again, the game tries to quantify also in its storyline a spiritual conflict, but the military part is there. Let's go to Gina calling from Johnson City, Tennessee, listening on WHCB. Go ahead, Gina.
Hi, Dr. Moeller. I just wanted to make 2 points. The first one is that I have 2 children, 2 boys, that play video games, and I regulate their times on that because I think too much can be detrimental to them. And the second thing is that it seems to me that it's way too gimmicky and it's too much like the world. And when boys, especially boys, are playing video games, that sort of violence is just like what's out there in the world right now that we have. When if you can get behind their eyes and see what they're seeing, or try to see what they're seeing, it's the same kind of violence that's in the other games.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a real concern, Gina, and I'm glad to say that this game, which is not rated yet, according to the publicity about it, doesn't, in the view of those who made it, lean into gratuitous violence, but there is violence there nonetheless, and the makers of the game say, look, that's necessary in order to attract this kind of attention from boys and young men. Gina, I appreciate your concern as a mom, and it sounds like you're doing just the right thing in taking control of your boys and the video games. And thanks for calling. Folks, the number 877-893-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Miller Program. Like I say, we must, as thinking Christians, be intellectually credible and when cases like this come along, and controversies are a little closer to the bone for most of us. This is a little closer to where we live. This is coming out of the evangelical side of Christianity. It's not theological liberals producing Left Behind, Eternal Forces. And it wasn't theological liberals writing the book. And this is not about Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. It's not about the Left Behind book series. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the transformation of this plot line into a video game that is to be marketed to young men, in particular, the biggest audience and market for these video games, to be considered on par with some of these other games that also include violence and all the rest. The question is this good for us? Is this something that is helpful to us in our evangelical witness? I think that's the big question. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to David, calling from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTBN. Go ahead, David.
How you doing, sir?
Doing great. Glad to hear from you.
I don't know if I liked the game, but I did want to comment that doesn't the Bible also talk about not only defending yourself, but even just killing unbelievers, like in, say, the Old Testament?
God did command the children of Israel in the conquest of Canaan to do just that. And I believe that every single word of the Bible is inspired and inerrant, and thus I believe it happened just as the Bible said it happened. So that's not in question. David, let me just ask while you're on the line with me here, does that mean that, as you see it, that would then give warrant for Christians to play a video game? In other words, to turn that into a video game or similar kind of violence into a video game?
I don't know.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't know.
Well, listen, I like honesty. And I also like a man who says he doesn't know when it comes to an issue like that. Which, again, I think, David, is a question of judgment. This is not a question. There is no text in the Bible that says, thou shalt not create a video game. It's not there. And so we're talking about judgment here. And it's just fine to have the space where we say we need a little more time to think about this. I've tried to think about it a bit before I came on the air today. And I've been looking at this for several weeks. I have a lot more negatives about this, I'll be honest, in terms of how I think this is going to play out in the public and how I think this plays into a stereotype that I believe is untrue about what evangelical Christians are really about. Thanks for your call, David. Great to hear from you there in Tampa. Let's go to Duclair, Wisconsin, where Charlie's on the line, listening on XM170. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, I've read Eusebius's work. I've also read John Fox's books, Martyrs. Nowhere in there does it say that the Christians were fighting back. They volunteered, a lot of them, to be executed as a witness for Christ. And I think this portrays the wrong light of how a Christian should be.
So you're suggesting that the very plot line of signing up for the forces of light to fight the forces of evil is not the main gospel plot line in the scriptures. Is that fair to say, Charlie?
Well, let's see. Jesus happened to say those who draw the sword will be die by the sword when Peter lopped off the guy's ear.
Yep. Well, you know, you're right. Like a man who reads the Bible. You know, here is where I'm on the horns of a dilemma, you know, and that's why I feel like I've got to keep saying it's about this and it's not about that. Number one, this is not about just opposing the reality of violence. It's not about denying the reality of violence. It's not about suggesting that boys are wrong and young men are wrong to conceive of life itself as in some sense a fight and to want to fight on the right side. You know, I know this perplexes moms everywhere, but their little boys are going to turn anything into a gun. If you don't let them have little guns to play with, they're going to turn anything into a gun. They're going to play spies. They're going to play sniper. They're going to play all these kind of things for the right side. They're going to play Delta Force. They're going to imagine themselves wearing the American uniform and doing great and noble things. And some of those things will include violence, and it will scare moms to death. This is not about trying to turn little boys into little girls. It is about the judgment of a video game that portrays Christians killing non-Christians and allows Christians to play on the side of the Antichrist and all the rest. And it's about the entire question of video games, in which violence becomes not just something that is, as the Christian worldview understands, sometimes a lamentable necessity, but turning it into the main plot line, the main storyline. I think those are the questions we really need to focus on. Thanks for your call, Charlie. Let's go to Ankeny, Iowa, where Dave's on the line listening to KFFF. Go ahead, Dave.
Dr. Mueller, appreciate your program. I have a couple things to say. One, the Bible instructs us that God takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. And two, the gamers take a very light view of what God's judgment is going to be after the rapture has taken place. From what I understand from Revelation, it's going to be an awful time for unbelievers. And to portray that in a positive light is very disturbing.
Well, I understand your point. And you know, you're pointing to something, by the way, Dave, that just struck me the first time I heard about this. I'm just picturing a 16-year-old kid sitting down for a serious game of Left Behind Eternal Forces. He gets himself into the game, as you know adolescent kids can do. They get in, and their mind is entirely given to that game. Physiologically, they change. They breathe differently. Endorphins rush to the brain. They are so focused on this. It is a whole body, whole mind, whole character experience. And it's about life and death. It's about good and evil. It's about the judgment of God upon the world. It's about the Antichrist. And then mom taps him on the shoulder and says, it's time for dinner. And he turns away from the video game and eats a hamburger. I find that very strange. I'll just be honest. I don't know how you kind of disengage from the battle of eschatology. How you turn away from the apocalypse and wonder about what's for dessert. I just find that to be incredibly cognitively weird. And I think it's one thing for it to be a game that is Grand Theft Auto or Halo or any of these other things out there that isn't supposedly about matters of life and death in eternity. I think turning it into a Christian context is just really, really strange. Again, we are not questioning the motivation of the folks behind this. That's not on the table here for our discussion. But the effect of the game, the meaning of the game, and the very concept of this is where I'm finding difficulty, folks. And I want to be honest with you, it's enough difficulty. I felt like we needed to talk about it today. But when we come back, I want to make a very different point. And that is that when you read the book of Revelation, it is drenched in violence. Not about a game, but about the judgment of a holy and almighty God. And we'll be right back. You know, when you read the Bible and you read it straightforwardly as the authoritative, sufficient, inspired, and inerrant Word of God, you have to take all of it And that is the problem with those who want to pick and choose the texts that they believe are inspired. There are those who on the theological left read texts that include God's judgment and violent statements about sin and the evils of idolatry and all the rest, and they dismiss them. We have no right to dismiss them. To the contrary, we have the obligation to point persons toward the picture of judgment that the Bible so very graphically presents. In Joel chapter 2, the Lord spoke through his prophet to say, I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. That is a picture of divine violence. Find it also in Revelation chapter 14, verse 20. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. That goes beyond anything you're going to find in any video game. The Battle of Armageddon, with wrath poured out upon the enemies of God. John writes, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. And he goes on talking about how all these things were gathered together in the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And then there is the doom of Babylon, and it is an awful doom. And then I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. And then there is the destruction which comes. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and the chosen and the faithful. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits, as Babylon, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. The end of the Bible in the book of Revelation comes with God's victory over all of his enemies. And it is a victory that is drenched in blood. It is a judgment that is coming on this day that the prophet Joel foresaw. It is a day of judgment that is awful and real and coming. And it is our Christian responsibility to warn persons about the reality of that judgment. It is our Christian obligation to preach the gospel and to share the gospel, knowing that the background is the very kind of judgment that the book of Revelation so clearly represents. My concern, folks, is turning that into a game. It's just far too serious for that. We'll be back tomorrow for Ask Anything Wednesday. We'll talk about what's on your mind. Join me for Intelligent Christian Conversation. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.